B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny are all in there doing a little pre-show meeting.
Nah, that's gossiping.
Nah, what I love, though, my man Toby. Toby Altizer. Nobody has more gear than Toby. Toby decked out in Skins gear with the Terry jersey on. I love it.
He walked in, dapped up Jeff, screaming.
I know Toby is fired up, man. Fired up. So are the folks on hold. Start with Brittany in Virginia. What's up, Britt?
What up, Britt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. You fired up?
Hey. I'm so excited. I have to tell you guys that my son this morning, he's real funny about, like, his clothes and stuff. He's only six, but he laid out his Terry jersey this morning. And I said, what are you doing, bud? I said, are you manifesting Terry sign with us today? And he said, yup. So
I
now he's going to be so excited.
Have you got to tell him yet, or is he at school?
No, he's at school. He's only six, but I would love if I could call his teacher right now and let him know, because Terry and Jaden are obviously his top buds.
That's all. What's going to be amazing is if by the time you pick him up, he already knows.
Yeah, he probably knows.
Like the teacher made an announcement.
He probably already knows.
Yeah, I hope so. I know he's going to be super excited, though.
Awesome. Enjoy that moment with the little man, and thanks for calling.
Oh, for sure. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. Let's go to Rick in Kensington. Rick, what up?
Hey, this is Rick. I'm a screen printer in Kensington, Maryland, by way of Chalmette, Louisiana.
Oh.
You know what's up, B. Mitch?
What's up, man?
We've been printing these Pay Terry tees. I just want to let everybody know I'm so tired of printing them Pay Terry tees that we're not doing it anymore.
They already paid them.
Anybody want any more shirts? They can say, Terry paid. Terry paid. I'm not. Thank you.
So I actually saw a dude wearing the Pay Terry shirt. I don't know where the hell I was. Maybe at the game. But, yeah, that was funny. That the last person I remember where they had shirts, I was a little boy, but it was at Camden Yards, and Cal Ripken was going into the last year of his contract. Uh-huh. And people were walking around with signed Cal shirts.
Uh-huh.
That's the level of, like, love there is in this city for that player.
Mm-hmm.
I want to let everybody talk, so I'm going to shut up and go to the phones. Russ is in Charlestown. Russ, what up?
Hey, man. Oh, I'm tickled to death, fellas. I'm glad Terry signed, glad for Jaden and all the fan base. And Terry's, you know, he's well earned it. You know what I'm saying? And we had a local guy sign this week up here in Chicago, Tyson Bagent, and he's done really well. Had an 18-point comeback against the Chiefs. I used to lift weights with his dad and play
ball. He just got paid, dude.
I'm tickled. It was a good news conference. Y'all get a chance to check it out. But it's just been a great week up here. So I just wanted to say, real happy, fellas.
Love it, man. Thanks for the call, Russ. Appreciate you. Let's go. We're going to stay in the DMWV. Josh is in West Virginia. What's up, Josh?
What's up, JP? What up, B. Mitch?
What's up, man?
Not much, man. Hey, look, all I got to say is T-Mac is back, and them chicken wings come September 7th is just going to taste much better, bro. I'm going to have my dad and my boy up with me, and this is going to be a tradition, man, that we do, man. And look, T-Mac is back.
All right,
there you have it. Thanks, cool. Bud. All right. Dom is in Chicago. Dom, it's a good day, bud.
What up, Dom?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all been?
We good, man.
Yeah, listen, man. Terry, I never doubted it. You know, it was kind of scary just thinking about it. But there's no way. These people too smart. No way they're going to let him walk out this house, man. And JP.
Yo.
My youngest daughter name is Sanaa. My youngest daughter.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
look, she's playing basketball down at Bethune-Cookman, right?
Cool.
And yeah, she's cool. And I just want to let you know, that's what made me call. I was going to bother y'all till mid-season, but when you said anybody named Sanaa call in, I couldn't pass it up, man.
Who would have thought we'd go over 2.5 Sanaas today?
Yeah, we did.
Thank you, Dom. Appreciate you, man.
All right, bro.
All right, take care.
And then you have Sanaa Leighton.
A lot of Sanaas.
Nice.
Dre is in PA. Dre, how fired up are you, man?
Hey, fellas.
What's up, man?
Listen, man, I'm one of them fans that's I'm more so of the let's get to week one, I knew this was going to happen type of fan. You know what I mean? Like, I understood the business of football, which a lot of our fans didn't. I was in your chat earlier, on YouTube and just looking at some of what the fans are saying about, you know, Terry lost some fans because of this and stuff like that.
They'll be back.
I'm responding to him like, I'm responding to him like, okay. I mean, you could just say you don't understand the business of football and move on. You could do that because this happens all around the league. And for people to take it personal because he's on your team, I just thought it was foolish. This is how it goes. But I'm ready for week one. It's an honor to be on the line with you guys. I called a couple years ago, and I figured today was a great day to call. But I'm ready for week one. I knew this would get done. Shout out to my guy, DJ, season ticket holder. He was on the side of – he was getting a little irritated that Terry would take it so long. But, hey, man, I think everybody got to understand none of us are writing that check, and none of us are the ones that can determine somebody else's value. And I think people have to understand that in life. And it doesn't matter if it's football or not. If you don't understand your value, then nobody does. So hey, I knew what he was doing, and I thought it was right.
Thank you for that call. And you know what? All those people that pissed at Terry, let me know the next time they get in a damn job trying to get more money. And I'm going to call and harass them every damn day. You'll see how I feel.
Shout out to y'all, man. Looking out for week one.
Appreciate it, dude. Thank you. Obviously, just a crazy busy day here with Terry getting paid and this thing getting resolved. And I know a lot of folks are going to try to draw a lot of conclusions until we see the true guarantees on this thing. You know, my guess is for all the DK comps, it's going to be the guarantee is what mattered. Now, DK also gave the Steelers significantly the DK contract extension was for 4 years. And he was under contract, and that's going to take him up through his prime. Should that contract actually go? You know,
but we already talked about that contract,
right?
That contract is a sham.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
And dude, I think it's entirely possible that the third year of this new deal won't have guarantees or won't have much guarantees, and that's okay. Like the contract information will emerge here, and we can make our determinations from that. But like. I guess just my advice on this is we don't have to look for like a winner or a loser in everything. Like, oh, did Terry's hold in, get him more cash? Did the team stand by their stance? Like, kind of who cares, dude?
You know what happened? The team and Terry both won because they got each other now. Jaden Daniels won. Hell, the same old people that were hating on Terry, your ass won because you get a chance to go see him, go out there and help you try to get where we want to go. That's who won. But the whole thing is people are so antagonistic to where it got to be always a winner, loser, and you got to find something to have an argument about. Who gives a damn what happened? The deal is done, and we're going to move forward with it.
Well, and there's also like this level of like almost clout chasing in a way of like, oh, I know the most information or you don't understand the salary cap like I do. Here's the reality. Not many people really understand the salary.
Mm-hmm.
That S is so complicated. You need a lawyer and an accountant.
The people that work on it every day don't understand it. That's why we have GMs that don't negotiate the contract. There's somebody else who specializes in negotiating the contract.
Right.
Those are the people that really go out there and break down all that stuff.
Like the incentives and everything that really, like, I mean, people don't really fully understand the difference between guaranteed money and fully guaranteed at signing money. And cash to cap and cash value versus cap value. Like, there's just a million things that I think makes this a lot more complicated. And I think the end result here is all that matters. Terry's going to be on the field week one. If you listened to us for months now, we told you Terry would be on the field week one. And Washington was never going to trade him. Could there be some feelings along the way? Sure. But when that 30 mil signing bonus hits his bank account, everybody's going to feel a lot better. And then when he catches a touchdown week one against the Giants, people are going to be all good.
Hey, at this point right now, everybody that's hating, don't care about them.
And
30 million going to hit your account. Don't worry about them.
My guess is Terry's cap number for this year will actually go down now that they're going to be able to prorate this new money over the next 4 years. Like, they always had the cap space. This isn't going to make or break anything. They'll be able to sign Jaden. Don't live in the microwave, man. Touch grass, as Jeff would tell me. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley. We're here, dude. It's roster cutdown day. Got to get to 53 today. I don't see a path. B, I'm gonna start to present things to you, and then you tell me if you agree or not. At least today, on roster cutdown day, the roster, so everybody understands, one, they're going to try to get things done today by 4 o'clock, league mandated, right? Maybe they get it done a little earlier. But then they got to fill out their practice squad, and then this entire roster is going to change significantly.
By September 7th?
By September 4th.
Yeah.
Here's an example of this. So I got it. I tape all ears every Wednesday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I work with Chris Kerwin. He does a great job. A lot of the really cool graphic packages we do, Kerwin puts that stuff together. And he was asking me, he's like, dude, do you want to do one of these roster breakdown graphics for the show Wednesday night? And the reality is on Wednesday, we're going to hear from AP and DQ about roster cuts. We're going to hear from AP and DQ about Terry McLaurin. Then we're going to hear from Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're also going to get to talk to players that made the roster, maybe some surprises, maybe Ja'Cory Brooks, maybe even Bill making the roster as a seventh-round rookie, right? Like, I was like, we're going to have so much stuff about the guys that made it. I think we wait till the following week going into the Giants game to do any sort of what the roster looks like, what the starters look like, because I think a lot of it could shift over the course of that week.
Definitely.
You know?
You're right about that.
I mean, Noah Brown, who is considered wide receiver 3 here, but like an important part of the piece, an important piece of the puzzle, signed in Washington on August 28th last year.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be movement.
Yeah, it's
going
to be other people that come here. You know, like just because the cuts happened today, you don't put all your faith into that because today is the 26th. They play on September 7th. And you will have at least 3 to 5 people that may be new that you didn't have one chance to talk about for the previous OTAs and training camp and all that stuff. There're gonna be some other guys that come around.
But
you hope you can fill your practice squad with guys that have gone through your system. But sometimes there's some guys that get released and you go, what? I like that kid.
That guy.
He can help me. You know, and he may
or
just,
I want that veteran.
Yeah, maybe just a little better than the one that you have on your practice squad.
The thing that you got to remind yourselves with these practice squads, the fact that you can have veterans and you can elevate them up to 4 times is a massive, massive change. And it really, I don't want to say undermines the importance is going too far, but it has really changed the strategy and the outlook of roster cut day. All that said, let's get down to business, right? We're wondering if there's a spot for Ali Cahoe, the undrafted rookie linebacker out of UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Ja'Cory Brooks, the undrafted rookie wide receiver out of Louisville. Bill Kroski Merritt is on the team, period. Like, I don't think we have to wonder about that. Do you have any wonder?
I mean, I think people just look at the people that were on the sideline and didn't play last game. They made the team. Boom, done.
My only question with Bill, and DQ completely Dikembe'd this, was he, and it may be a little bit of both here, was he not on the field for the preseason finale because he's on the team, or was he not on the field for the preseason finale because he's dealing with the shoulder thing?
On the team.
The answer is yes to
on
both.
On the team. Because, let's be real, when they had their little last day practice and the starters were going, Bill was going in that black jersey.
Right.
You didn't have Bill sitting on the sideline doing nothing. He was going with the starters, right? He's on the team.
I agree. All right, offensively, I got 2 quarterbacks. I think maybe that changes by next week, but I don't think Johnson forced his way onto the roster, and I think they want to carry 4 backs and 4 tight ends. Something's got to give. I got 2 quarterbacks. You land differently.
How many quarterbacks?
2.
Yeah, I think it's 2. But I think it'll end up being a 1 on the practice squad.
I 1,000% agree with that. I am not entirely sure that the one that lands on the practice squad is someone we've seen here. I think, how much do you think Hartman and Jaden's friendship matters in this decision making process.
Should matter at all. I don't know what I think about it, but it should matter. Point blank.
Yeah.
And let's be real. When your best friend leave a team, he's still your friend, right?
Right.
And then you find somebody else to be close to and they're on the team. You know how many people that I was cool with throughout training camps and off seasons, and then they got released, and then I still talk to them, but then you start hooking up and being cool with somebody else.
Right.
Because, you know, let's be real. You think that Sam has to be here for Jaden to be as good as he is? I doubt it.
Nope.
So. We'll see.
Running backs, I think they're keeping four. I
looks like it to me.
What's funny is this time of year, it's funny. Like, there's like this very symbiotic relationship between beat reporters and fantasy people. Like, the fantasy people, big national fantasy people that appear on our station and they, you know, all year long with fantasy, you're looking at them for information. Right now, they're blowing me and every other beat reporter up around the country.
Because they want to know who made squad so they can now start talking about it.
So I've gotten asked from a number of different people what I think about the Commanders running back room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think
when you think about the running back room, you got to also lean your mind a little bit towards number one.
Debo, sure.
Because he's going to be a guy getting some of those carries. And in a sense, if they were to go with three, he'll be the reason. Which may allow them to bring a third quarterback or bring another offensive lineman, something like that. Because Debo is going to be involved in the running game.
I think they're going four backs. Eckler.
C-Rod and Bill maybe before McNichols, based off of the way I saw the production. I saw them being utilized.
I don't think McNichols is the lock I have previously, but he does a lot on specials,
mm-hmm.
and he's their best pass pro back.
And I watched Rodriguez in the game put face masks all up in the chest of the linebacker coming off the edge. So a lot of guys are taking that step. And, you know, Anthony Lynn, he got those guys working, bro.
I think Chris Rodriguez deserves a ton of credit for realizing where he was in his football journey. And I don't know that he recommitted himself or that he saw, like, the light came on and he knew he had to change his body. But he looks different. Hey, he's talked about the speed changes.
One of the coaches could have just told him where he needed to be.
Right.
And he does deserve the credit for going out there and doing it because, hell, it's been guys along the way where I know coaches told what they needed to do, and they didn't get there. And I know guys that got there. James Strass was one of those guys who got there. There were guys that I told what they needed to do, and they're like, man, I can't do all of that. Okay, well, you all won't be on the team then. Then when they get released, what could I have done? Well, I already told you what you could have done. You didn't do it. And it's as cutthroat as that sometimes. But he was told something, and he went and he got it done. When James Harrison was paying $500,000 a year to get his body right, people say he was stupid for paying all that money. $500,000 to make $13 million? Yeah, I think he made a smart-ass decision. You know what I mean? So you got to do it, go above and beyond to get into the door. If you're not in the door, you can't turn down nothing nobody tells you that can help you out.
So here's what I'm curious about. What do you think Commanders running back breakdown looks like? Like, if it's a piece of pie.
You mean amount?
I'm talking about, like, work on the field. Not even carries, but touches. Because I think Eckler catches a lot.
Well, touches for me, I think that's not something you can really throw out there because it's depending on the game. Because one game, hell, Eckler may be in there killing you on the outside and catching balls at the backfield. The next game, it may be Debo getting a lot of those things that he was doing. The next game, maybe Rodriguez and Bill just gutting you up the middle. So I don't know if I could put a straight break into a pie, but I know that Cliff is going to be in his bag because he has the opportunity now to do a lot of different things. And Debo being on the field makes the damn defense a little worried. You don't know if he's going to come and catch a pass. He's going to go in motion and run the ball or throw the damn ball. He does everything.
I believe Eckler, Bill, and Rodriguez are absolutely on the team. I believe they keep McNichols, but it is a separate category.
Okay.
Does that sound about right?
Cool.
Six wide receivers. Terry, Debo, Noah, Lane, Luke. I think it should be Brooks. What do you think about KJ Osborne? That's a guy they signed last November-ish.
I mean, those two guys both were doing their little thing down the stretch. But if I had to lean, say, who had the better camp, I would say Brooks had the better camp.
I think Brooks definitely had the better camp. I don't see – I think one of the coaches mentioned Osborne's work as a returner also.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more you could do, the more effective you make it. But, like
– that's it.
They don't have guys – there's no push for seven wideouts out of this group. Like
– I think if another wideout were to make it, it's not because he's going to be just a receiver dude. He must be doing everything on special teams.
That's almost the position I would find least surprising if there's somebody else on the active roster next week than whoever breaks out of camp. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Tight ends then becomes an interesting one. Ertz and Bates, obviously, I think it's Sennett and Yankoff as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see it going that way?
I see that.
I think any conversation with Luke or Sennett getting released is just premature.
Maybe premature, but you know what? If they have to really, really do something, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I understand someone being drafted at a certain point, but eventually you got to make the decision that's better for the team, not the fact that you drafted a person.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You know what sucks? Getting a cold in the summertime. I'll tell you that much. Sucks. Shout out to Dayquil. Let's do this, B.
Yo.
I want to run through roster thoughts. Sam Cosmi goes to the IR. There was like...
That was all planned
out. A little bit of performative theater from DQ throughout the summer. I think sometimes people take stuff too seriously when a coach just isn't ruling something out. Like, what's he supposed to say? And why
he was saying if he mysteriously is healthy enough to play, hell, we're gonna play him. But if not, we're gonna use every tool we have in place.
So I said this already. To me, the surprise was B-Rob getting traded. That happened 10 days ago now.
Yep.
Terry getting done was
once they made the moves that they made, we knew that was gonna happen.
Terry getting done was never a surprise to me.
Nope.
So then you look at what happened yesterday. It's really important to keep in mind that what happened yesterday is not necessarily like your actual 53 is the group that will take the field next Wednesday when it's the first day of practice of Giants week.
Mm-hmm.
That's your real 53. There's gonna be a lot of moving parts over the next week. What day is today? Wednesday? Exactly a week. A lot of moving parts. The surprises to me, and these are I'm not applying any connotation, positive or negative, just things that I noticed, right? I wanted to start with Eddie Goldman. I was a little surprised Eddie Goldman was on the final roster. I don't think, had the best preseason. He was a little slimmer than I expected, which is probably good for his health. But clearly they like the size of Eddie Goldman.
I actually liked Eddie. You know, when you watch Eddie took on a lot of double teams. And he has that little knack of doing this, grabbing those jerseys and not allowing them to get up on the linebackers. I watched a lot of the games, and I know people looked at this, they got bigger, what was happening? A lot of those second, third string linebackers wasn't filling the damn hole.
Right.
You know, my job is to take on the double team or fill and make a big clog right here, you're supposed to fill the gap.
Sure.
They weren't filling them. It wasn't his fault, so yeah. I thought he played well.
I thought Jalen Holmes showed good enough in real games last season and had a good camp, but I don't think that's an apples-to-apples comp. Jalen Holmes gets released. I was texting with some folks yesterday, and they were also a little surprised Jalen Holmes got released, but he's a D-end, and basically the arrival of Von Miller was pretty bad news for Jalen Holmes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean Holmes can't get to the practice squad. I won't be surprised if that happens at all. Cleveland Farrell gets released. That was not a surprise.
But the thing about,
if you look at when he was playing in the preseason, they were
yeah, you're true with that. But the thing about Holmes, if he ends up to the practice squad, that answers the questions about what you're thinking. If nobody else come and grab him, then hell, how good did he play in the preseason? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's something you can look at as well.
Just sticking with the D line, for Goldman, I feel like it was kind of a fight with Sheldon Day or Carl Davis, depending what you thought there. Those are both guys that gave you snaps last season. I think clearly they think there's another gear Goldman can hit compared to those two dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, that's just the
reality. Then again, having Goldman doing the things he was doing this preseason with a Bobby Wagner on the field, a Frankie Louvu, I think those guys will hit those gaps.
Not necessarily a surprise, but I'm happy for Chris Paul making the roster. I thought when he started at guard in the Bengals game, the second preseason game, was really pretty telling that they of what they wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the reality why I'm happy for Chris Paul, he's a seventh rounder going into the last year of his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
So folks understand the last year of a rookie deal is when these guys make by far the most money of their deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of seventh rounders to get to the last year of their deal. And I'm just happy for him. That's a dude that I think really worked hard on his body. I think he looks stronger now than he ever has. And that's the natural progression. You should look stronger in year four in the NFL.
He plays. I mean, the thing about him.
Dense, baby.
I know when they said that, when they made that comment, he's dense. You know, and I think you got to be, you got to know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about he's a very, very thick guy that, and it's hard to move him.
Right.
And when you watch him on the field, it's hard to move him.
Right.
You know, so the whole thing about it, if the guy is hard to move and he moves other people, well, that's the best thing for a running back.
Yeah, man. Just on, like, some of this is a human level. Like, I know Chris. I like Chris. I was happy he made the roster because he gets a nice little payday here.
Mm-hmm.
Next surprise or comment, thought, Cahill made it. I was really happy for Cahill.
Yeah.
I thought
because when he got his opportunity, he made the best of it.
I thought that would be a roster squeeze situation just because, you know, they gave Belor an extension. He wasn't going anywhere. They just drafted Medrano. But on their roster, technically, I'm counting to be sure I'm correct, they kept seven linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that seems really odd, but keep in mind they're listing Von Miller as a linebacker.
Yeah,
he's a pass rusher, but you want to call him an OLB, that's fine by me. But still, keeping six linebackers is throughout this camp, I think, similar to Tyler Owens last year, within 2 weeks of camp, you knew Tyler Owens was on the 53. He just played at a speed and a pace that you immediately noticed, right?
Yep.
And in this camp, that was Bill. That was Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. Like, he played with a speed and a vision and the jump cut ability that you knew, all right, this dude's going to be on the roster. Like, this dude could play right away.
Yeah. He's raw.
Outside of Bill, though, I don't know that a lot of guys forced their way on the roster, really, until Cahill's performance in that third preseason game. I think that game cemented, you got to keep this kid around.
Yeah. I think Tyler Owens, what he did early last year, was amazing. And then when he got in the game, he kind of got a little quiet. But then he came back this year, and he was still making plays. Like, he was like, okay, I figured it out. And then this year, you heard the coaches still giving praise in that second year, which means that kid figured it out because he wasn't along the season the same guy as he was early in preseason and in training camp. But this year, he came back out and was like, remember me?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that makes a world of difference. So at that point, they were like, he gets it. And when you look at a guy with that size and that speed, the possibilities are amazing. So just hoping that he can fulfill it.
Happy for Keho. You always like an undrafted guy to make your 53. Next question for me, B. There was a serious debate if they're going to keep three quarterbacks. I don't think there was ever really much confusion over which three those would be.
Yeah.
You know, 5 and 18 are pretty well cemented, I would say.
Totally.
I don't think Hartman was going to make the active. But, hey, are we going to keep Josh Johnson? That was a real question, I think.
He was here the whole training camp.
They signed him months ago.
And
he was here minicamp. He was
the
here
fact a- that Mariota missed Dang. A lot. You want a veteran to be able to step in. No, he's not Jaden. But he's been around long enough where he would understand what to do. You didn't want to make the other guy the third guy because very good possibility he'd have to play. And at this point, he's not ready.
Yeah, dude. I wonder if Mariota's fully healthy, if he had a different summer in training camp, if Johnson makes the roster. But you know what? He's not fully healthy. So Johnson made the roster. Not a surprise necessarily, but I don't know that will last throughout the season. We'll see. No surprises, four running backs, four tight ends. But like eventually you gotta create some space. If you're keeping three quarterbacks and four running backs and four tight ends, they end up only going with five wideouts.
Five wideouts and five corners.
Yeah, I think the five corners, five safeties to me were pretty much a done deal. It means Ja'Cory Brooks does not make the active. I like Brooks. I like the athleticism. I like the tools. But he didn't force his way on the team.
He didn't force his way, but
he showed.
I think he showed a lot. But I think right now he was in the top six, the top five playing. I believe that totally.
Over Luke?
Hell yeah. But he wasn't drafted. And that's understandable. But Luke's going to have to make some steps and some strides. Because if he makes our practice squad, he's going to keep raising eyebrows.
One thing that has been interesting, specific to McCaffrey, is how the coaching staff talks about him. Like what, whether they're saying it or they believe it, what they say is really strong.
See, what I said to you just earlier this week, they may have criteria where he needs to hit certain marks. And if he's hitting those, I can understand them saying, okay, he's going where we want him to go. There may be other guys that may be hitting those marks and doing better things. But if a guy I drafted is hitting the criteria or making the strides that I think, then I stick with it. But then that gets to a point, too, where you're like, okay, I don't need you to just reach that mark I set. I need you to exceed them sometimes.
It's going to be interesting. You'd really like to see some development, including some productivity, for a top 100 pick. I similarly, zero surprise, Sennett made it. I think Sennett has contributed more on the field in games than Luke has. Not that either of those bars are particularly high, but Sennett's also a tough guy. He's not you're not losing much when he's on the field. He's not the blocker Bates is. He's not the receiver, the route runner Ertz is, but he could play. I think, dude, I remember rookie camp last year. And rookie camp, for those that have never attended one, is really, really a stretch to extrapolate much from because you generally have, call it, six or seven draft picks. Then maybe another six or seven UDFAs that they've signed to contracts. But then you have 30 tryout players that, by and large, aren't going to be in the NFL.
Yep.
I remember rookie camp watching Yankoff last year, and I was like, that dude's got something. The athletic gifts. I mean, he's got a lot. So I wasn't surprised by the four backs, the four tight ends.
Yeah.
I think Brooks just got caught up in a roster squeeze. I will not be shocked at all if he ends up landing on the practice squad this afternoon.
When you look at the offensive linemen, though, most of those guys are versatile. They made it.
So the one offensive lineman that stood out to me was George Fant making the roster.
Veteran.
And I just wonder, I talked to an NFL vet a couple weeks back. And he's like, yeah, man, I just don't feel like signing until late August. Like, if you've played 9, 10, 11 years in the NFL and you're not signed, they know a call's coming. They know teams are checking in with their agent.
They already probably told him, check back with me a little bit later on because I'm not into it right now, though.
Right. And I think Fant making the roster after being signed, I think, less than a week ago, is pretty indicative of this is a veteran that knows what he's doing in the league, and he, when he gets here, he'll be ready. He's on the roster. Yep. Like, I wonder, the first George Fant conversation, if you told me that was in May, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, and the thing about him, I think you get a guy, a veteran tackle, can probably play multiple positions as well. So
he can at least go both sides.
Yeah, when you get that, then you got 9 offensive linemen, but in essence, you got 12, 13 of them. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
So,
continue with roster thoughts in a minute. Brian, I did just get an email from the bank telling me there's a federal holiday coming up. So the bank will be closed.
Mm.
You know what that federal holiday is?
What is it?
Labor Day, dog.
Yeah.
We're off on Monday. We be chilling. You be golfing.
Yo, you got it.
You know what the Labor Day holiday means? The Labor Day sale is here at Offenbacher's, and you don't want to miss it. Save big with huge price reductions on outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spas. Plus, this is a huge deal with interest rates where they are. Take advantage of free financing options. Fall's coming. We're getting a little taste of fall weather. Fire pit out back. Bottle of red gives you a good chance. Telling you, Jeff. Get a fire pit and a bottle of red wine, dog. But here's the other part with these swim spas. You don't have to stop swimming when summer ends. With a swim spa from Offenbacher's, you'll keep the fun going year-round. They're way more affordable than a pool and give you all the soothing benefits of a hot tub. You can crank the temperature up, crank it down. And this has Mrs. Finley very excited. Offenbacher's is now offering saunas. You can get an indoor one or you can get an outdoor one if you live in a little house like me. Maybe we make room for it outside. Plus, they have the infrared options, which I know a lot of folks are very into. You can go check out the saunas in the Annapolis and Herndon showrooms. Make this Labor Day unforgettable. Visit Offenbacher's in Annapolis, Gainesville, Herndon, and Rockville and create the backyard retreat you've always dreamed of. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Live, Ashburn, Virginia. Last day in the tent, baby. Real football's coming. They're taking all the tents down, walking out yesterday, all the stands for the fans that were up for training camp all down.
Yeah, that's damn quick.
Yeah, man. But the biggest story by a mile this week, Terry McLaurin's back. Terry McLaurin's happy. The organization's happy. It's all smiles in Ashburn after, you know, roughly 2 months of a little bit of a storm cloud there with Terry. I want to let people weigh in. How happy are you? Terry's back. What did you think of his comments yesterday? Kenny is in Largo. What's up, Kenny?
What did you do, JPB, Miss? How y'all feeling today on this beautiful day?
We're good, man.
Good, man. How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm good at work. I'm ecstatic, you know, that he's back. I always knew, just like how y'all said, I always knew he was going to sign his contract back. Like, it just took forever. But, you know, I'm thrilled that he's back. We got our leader back, you know, because we needed that, man. Like, and I like when he said it was pressing, like, this is his first year. He got back-to-back quarterbacks. That, JP, y'all should have clapped it up when he said that, like, for real.
That's a pretty wild stat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That, like, been in the league 7 years, his first time back-to-back quarterback. That's crazy. Crazy.
And have the same one, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm thrilled, though. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's like, and I think about Santana's career. Hell, 14 years, he had about 17 quarterbacks.
I've said it too, Tana.
When guys like that produce like they do, come on, man. Give them their respect.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thanks for the call, dude. Let's try to name them, B. So Terry's rookie year was 2019. I remember that. They opened in Philly. He caught a touchdown. Case Keenum was the starting quarterback.
I remember that.
All right. 2020 was Ron's first year. I think Haskins started week one.
They did have Haskins. Case Haskins.
21 was supposed to be Fitz, but I think it was Heinicke.
Fitz, Heinicke, Howell.
22. No, Fitz started game one, but he got, even though he had injured his hip earlier on a
Water slide.
Yeah, he started game one, but then got hurt like three plays
allegedly.
In, right?
Yeah, yeah, allegedly. Right. So Fitz started in 21. 22 was Wentz. 23 was Howell. 24 was Jaden.
Yeah.
That is a wild list, man.
But he caught it from other people, too. There was other people who caught it.
Oh, for sure. I'm just saying, just week yeah. one.
Wow.
That is so bad. No.
But he produces, and people want to say, oh, he's not an exceptional receiver.
Yeah. Gary's up in Baltimore. Gary, you fired up for Terry McLaurin's return? Seems like Terry's fired up.
I am fired up, man. What's up, JP? B-Bitch.
What's up, man?
How y'all
What's
doing?
Up, man?
We're good,
yeah,
brother.
Man. I'm really excited, man. I was just waiting for the breaking news to come out, like all off season. Like, you know, they need to sign this guy, put it behind him because, you know, he's been the model citizen. He's kept his head down, worked hard. And, you know, there's nothing really bad to say about him. Other thing I wanted to say, by the contract negotiations and a holdout, I think that, it really put in perspective. Last year, everybody was like, oh, Terry's not a number one receiver. He's not a number one receiver. Once this contract negotiation thing happened and you start to see his stats and what he did, you really start to realize, and his performance last year, you realize that he is the number one receiver. He's better than a lot of people that's out there right now. And that's all I had to say.
All right, man. Appreciate that.
Thanks for the call, dude.
Sure, Terry, appreciate that, too.
I'm sure. I think you know, it's pretty remarkable how this has all gone down for Terry. And just, Jeffrey, if you can, I know how stressed you were throughout this. How fired up were you to see Terry running around on the field yesterday and then just the smiles when he was talking to the media?
JP, y'all thought I was playing when I was saying I was going to go home and play Madden. I've been playing Madden, and I have not been playing anybody. You know what I've been doing? I've been putting it on rookie and just demolishing the Eagles with passes from Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. It's so exciting to even hear the Eagles fans calling my phone, talking about something. Oh, y'all got y'all boy back. That ain't going to do nothing. I said, oh, it is going to do something. That's why y'all scared. That's why y'all calling me. I didn't call y'all to talk about Terry. Y'all called me.
Yeah, that's crazy how they do that. Then they act like, oh, we don't care. Oh, you care. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be dialing the number.
Which quarterback do we think Terry has caught the most touchdown passes from? So last year, he caught 13. At least 12 of them were from Jaden. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying regular season. At least 12 of them were from Jaden.
How many he has total?
38.
He caught the most from Jaden.
You think?
Uh-huh.
How many do you think he caught from Heinicke? Because Heinicke played the most during those.
Yeah, but I saw him catch. He caught the most he caught in 1 year when Heinicke was around was like six or seven, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying over the course of.
I still say Jaden.
So, now, did he maybe catch another one from Mariota in that? It's got to be Jaden. So, I just looked this up. Terry, in his career, had 125 catches with 1,700 yards and scored 8 touchdowns from Taylor Heinicke.
That's already shattered.
Yeah.
I mean, that's done. And also, that tells you a lot about having a legitimate quarterback and knowing where to go with the damn ball.
Totally.
And even Heinicke told you, I just close my eyes and throw it up there. Terry will catch it.
Right.
At least Jaden look and throw it to him.
What was Heinicke? He sold the T-shirts. Bleep it, Terry down there somewhere.
Yeah, just throw it up. Terry down there somewhere.
Let's go to V in D.C. What's up, V?
V, you up, man?
Hey, so my question for you is, JP, you was in there at the conference when Terry spoke, and I was wondering, like, what was the atmosphere like in there, like, when he finally got down and sat down? I know they started out by saying, you know, hey, so, like, what did the room feel like, you know, because me watching it, I kind of, you know, I just felt like it was real genuine. You know, the energy was kind of in a sense of not emotional, not too emotional, but it just felt like a sigh of relief to have him there. And then, like, with the questions that he was getting, it was, like, real in-depth questions about the process. and he gave pretty much genuine in-depth answers. So, like, what was the atmosphere for you? And how did the room feel?
Yeah, man, I mean, I've covered Terry since his rookie year. Like, I know him fairly well. And there are, of the people in that room yesterday, there's a handful of people that know Terry well and were at Easter Motors and have been at Terry's charity events. So there was a real feeling of it's a good question, V, and I appreciate you asking it, man, because, like, my job isn't to root for the team or, you know, root for a player or any of that. But, like, as you get to know guys, you care about them personally, right? And even being at Easter Motors, I knew how much this was bothering Terry. It's not like he was losing sleep or anything, but, like, he did not expect it to go this way, and it went this way. And mm-hmm. I think that leaned on him.
Yeah.
And I could see yesterday, just by his body language, just, you know.
He was relieved.
He was relieved, man. Yeah. He was happy. Like, he knows now. I mean, hell, I'm sure we can look it up online. His career earnings are probably now close to $100 million. Like, he has changed the lives of his parents, of his family, of his future children, of his wife. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a level of security with that.
Yeah.
And I think by and large, you know, there were questions to be asked. There were things we had to find out. And when Adam Peters said, you know, I applaud Terry McLaurin's professionalism, that resonated to me because, in general, now, the way this organization used to work would be to try to smear players.
Try to bash the person, yeah.
Most of the times, though, in the league, that's not what happens. I'd say two-thirds of the time, the organization tries to just shut up about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you see a lot, especially at the receiver position, are players that go ballistic. Players that, like, the classic move is you start deleting all the stuff off your Instagram, right?
Which,
like,
makes no sense.
Right. But, like, Terry never did any of that. And if you want to get caught up in the Easter Motors thing, you're allowed to. I don't agree with you. That to me is just business. But there was a real feeling there that Terry was so happy to have this behind him and happy with how the organization landed. And he is a pro at all times, and I think it came through yesterday.
What I say is this, okay? When he was going through it, and you saw I got a little personal with a lot of people when he was going through it.
Yeah.
When you go to a team and you do everything you're asked to do and more, and then you're in that situation as if they don't care about you, and then you start getting certain fans, not many, certain fans who want to start saying what you should do and what you got to do and, like, turning on you. I experienced it when I was around for them 10 years. I was here for 10 years. Never thought I would deal with all that crap. But I did see Art Monk, and I'm like, okay, it will happen. But then when it happens, you're not ready for it. Because what you've done is every damn thing you've been asked and more. And then all of a sudden, now you're being told that all the stuff they've been asking for, all the stuff they use to explain what a certain level of a teammate is supposed to be or what a commander is supposed to be, Redskin at the time, but that's not good enough anymore for them. That hurts, dog. That hurts tremendously. And I understood where he was coming from. And as I would hear some of the people who start trying to use this man's questioning himself, because you question yourself a lot of time when all this stuff goes down. Him being in this situation, they start using that to try to promote their little mindsets and their ideas. It made me really mad. You know, it put me in that position where when I was a little kid where I just went looking for people to beat up. I'm serious. But I'm smart enough not to do that these days. But everybody that I'm discussing, they know who I'm talking about. Because every time you said something, I said something directly to you. And you knew I was saying it. So it's like, stop trying to utilize somebody's pain to promote some of your dumbass mindsets.
You are listening to B. Mitch and Finley. We'll keep these phone lines open. Dan Quinn's going to address the media at noon. Terry,
was asked about the age situation and how that impacted the contract negotiations, and I loved his answer. You'll hear it when we return. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, it's Brian and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Rood. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? You can adjust it in mere seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the absolute best, and they've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
The biggest difference is controlling the humidity, man. We've had this stretch of great, great weather, and it's been terrific. But before that, it was hot as hell, and everybody knew it. If you can control the humidity in D.C., you're going to control the temperature in your house. Rood gets it done with a variable speed compressor that ensures humidity control. It gives you comfort and performance perfectly balanced. What's better than that? Money. Cold, hard cash. You can qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps through 2032. Check out Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood,
it ain't right. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. I'm out east, Bethany Beach. Real pleasant four-hour drive to get here last night. No traffic at all, B. B. Mitch is an NFL legend.
He's holding it. Woo.
Dog. He's holding it down in the Navy Yard Studios. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
Man, I'm good. What's happening with you?
I can tell you something definitively.
I'm better than people in Texas.
I can tell you something definitively, Brian.
What?
Yesterday was a good day for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, it was. You don't have to see them twice a year.
Now, you're going to see them week two.
You see them week two, but you don't have to see them twice a year. But go ahead.
Shockwaves.
The question, though, everyone, they know. Micah Parsons traded to the Green Bay Packers. Two first-round picks, one in 2026, one in 2027, and they get this guy, this dude, Clark.
Kenny Clark.
Jerry says, I did this move so we can win now, make us better now. There's no damn way a 2026 and 2027 draft pick make you better now. Getting rid of that, listen, he's a Dallas Cowboy. So you act like you don't like him, but that dude is an unbelievable player. To get rid of Micah Parsons thinking you're getting better now tells me that you need to be pulled off of the decision-making train. But stay there as long as you can.
Oh, I think Cowboys fans want him way off the decision-making train. I don't want to discount Kenny Clark because he's a good player. 6'3", 315, three-time Pro Bowler. Dallas is bad against the run. Kenny Clark is a run stopper. So, like, I don't want to discount Kenny Clark, who turns 30 in October. I'm not trying
to discount
him.
But he don't disrupt a game like damn Micah Parsons.
There's no chance you got better today, period. No chance. And let's listen to old Jarrah explain this one.
Yeah. We did think it was in the best interest of our organization, not only the future, but right now, this season as well.
I think Jerry finally ran into a player that wasn't putting up with his ish and got the best of him, and he said, I'm getting rid of him because he's making me look bad. That's what I think the sole thing was.
I think this came down to, like, you know, they started talking about this was a divorce and it wasn't going to change. And I think to me, what this really boils down to is just Jerry being petty and not letting a player get the upper hand on him. And he's like, hell with it. Send him away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're judging off reports, right? And who knows exactly how true everything is. But they offered him plenty of money. Maybe Green Bay offered him more, but Jerry said we offered to make him the highest paid non-quarterback ever.
Jerry said that. You never heard them numbers, though.
At the end, it doesn't matter because I think when this thing became about so David Mulligetta is the in-between here, right?
Yeah.
You got Jerry Jones owns the Cowboys. Micah Parsons was playing for the Cowboys. David Mulligetta is a very powerful agent with Athletes First. And when Jerry refused to engage with Mulligetta and Parsons decided, that's my guy, I'm sticking with Mulligetta here, that's when it just became inoperable because
Because Jerry has been used to doing slide stuff, basically. Look, when you, if you're trying to make a guy not have his representation be a part of a deal of this magnitude, that's stupid. And I would applaud Michael Parsons for sticking to his guns. And I would applaud any player. Don't let these damn owners tell you you can't have your representation. They have theirs. Why the hell you can't have yours?
Right. Now, there's some conversation. Basically, this is a four-year, $120 million deal. So it's a four-year, $188. 3 years, $120 is guaranteed. $40 a year is incredible.
You know what, JP? At this point, I don't give a damn what the real numbers are. $120 million when he signed the contract, fully guaranteed, is enough. If anybody think that this is a screwed-up deal or whatever, they got to go jump off a damn bridge. Head first into some concrete. This is right. this is a win all the way for Michael Parsons.
Well, and here's what's crazy is, okay, so you got two first rounders. Okay. The Packers last year drafted 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
2 years prior, 25th.
Okay.
In 23, they had made some moves, so they had an extra first. But generally, over the last 5 years, the Packers draft position is around 25.
Yeah.
So not that first rounders aren't all valuable. I mean, heck, Washington hopes they got a future Pro Bowl tackle almost at the bottom of the first round. But to get two first rounders like that and then a player who's a good player but is about to turn 30, like, it's such a poor haul. Listen, if this got to a place where you have no choice but to trade Micah Parsons, I don't agree with that. I like to think you always have a choice. But at least call around the league. I feel like you could have gotten more than this.
Maybe
you could have
gotten more, but maybe nobody else was going to offer you two first-rounders and a player. But you can draft the guy at those positions, 23 or whatever, and he could end up being a hell of a player for you. You can also draft a guy at the first pick, and he could be garbage. So this is no guarantee that those first-rounders are going to pan out to be Michael Parsons.
Zero guarantee.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the ultimate thing for me. It's like, I got a sure in hand. And for all the people that like to throw age out there, this dude is in his prime, 26 years old, hadn't really reached his prime, but he's damn good. He's as good as anybody out there. And you say, I'm going to let you go. Come and go get somebody else. Why? Because you seem to have an upper hand on me. That's basically what it was about. And that's simple, man. That is simple, simple. But, hey, for all you Cowboy fans, kudos. Keep Jerry in place.
We're going to open the phone lines up for the Cowboy fans because you call in. You call in all the time. Call in today. In the last, 6 months in Dallas, they traded away Micah Parsons and Luka Doncic. How's that going? Let's see if we can get one of our Dallas friends on the line. Bobby Belt.
Let me tell you, man. You know the text thread I always discuss, college text thread? My man, old Derek Johnson, DJ. DJ is a Green Bay Packers fan. So when he sent his little post this morning, Jay, I'm gonna try to find it for you. Is all he said right here. Can you see it?
Yeah. Just Packers just logo. Him,
no, just his hat leading down with his Green Bay Packers logo showing.
in four seasons in the NFL, four seasons, Micah Parsons is a 4-time Pro Bowler, a 2-time All Pro player. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's had 13 sacks, 13 and a half sacks, 14 sacks. Last year, he had 12 sacks in only 13 games.
Hey, man, I don't know how you can let him walk. Hey, man, people do what they do. I don't think this was a smart move. Nobody can tell me that this deal made sense. No one can tell me that.
No. And I imagine, we all know. So in our so I want to start a little more simple. Where were you be when you heard this? Because to me, this was like a what?
It popped up. I was on the golf course. This is the funny thing. Ben and I played golf yesterday, and I found my game back again. JoJ, I'm back off the tee.
Glad to hear it. Whenever you play with Ben, things seem to go well.
Hey, 38, and I was even par with three holes left. And then it got dark, and we was behind some slow pokes, so we could never finish.
Hate slow pokes.
So Ben was just telling me, say, man, watching this thing about Dallas, tells you a lot about Jerry. And he say, Jerry is a strange cat. And I say, yep. And I say, dude, but you won't believe this. He say, what? I say, they just traded Michael Parsons. We were just talking about it, and boom, I got an alert on my phone.
Dude, so, you know, we continue to hear that this was possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving to the beach last night, and the Beltway was awful. Route 50 was awful. Everything was awful, right? Once I crossed the bridge, it was totally fine.
What you expect on that day? Everybody was thinking just like you, let's beat it.
I thought the traffic, the Beltway's always going to Beltway, right? But I thought the traffic would be the Bay Bridge and past, like getting east. It was not. Everything was fine on this side. It was just everything prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, so I'm in traffic, and, you know, my phone is a fairly, there's a lot of action on my phone, mm-hmm. far more action on my phone than there is on my body. And like, I'm used to like seeing notifications, but I'm driving. Like, I'm not trying to like look at my phone, right? Mm-hmm. I got the girls in the car. I got the bike rack on the back. Like, I'm trying to chill out.
Connect it to the thing and let it pop up on the screen.
Yeah. Anyway. But then my phone goes nuclear. Like my phone, like, exploded. And I'm like, what the hell? And it was like 100, like, is this real text? And then I looked at our text thread. And sure enough, between Jeff and White Brian and everybody, it was like, yo, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa. And this to me, because I wasn't able to like take the time, look at the compensation, how did Dallas do in the trade? I'm driving in Beltway traffic, and I'm just like, holy moly, the mm-hmm. Cowboys really traded Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
And you try to think of like a comp of trading away a young player in his prime like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, dude. It's hard. Really, I think the Luka trade is like the one, especially to trade him for something that, to me, you did not get equal value.
The Luka trade is there, but like, even hell, let's think about it. Didn't they trade away Herschel Walker at 27 and got and went on a run? But I think
Herschel was older.
He was 27.
Remember, I thought he started in the USFL.
Yeah, but he was 27 years old when they traded him. The USFL, really? He was 20, 21. He's 27. And Wichita was 26, so 1 year off. But they built a hell
dynasty.
Of a team yeah. off of that. I don't think they're going to be able to sell for this.
For the Herschel Walker trade, they also got a lot more picks.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't just first rounders, but they ended up with five draft picks because of that trade.
And they most of those in 1 year. So it wasn't like an extended thing, but I just don't know if this history is going to repeat itself for them on this one.
No. And, like, I know this was a big part of this documentary and obviously a big part of the Jerry-Jimmy beef. They had Jimmy there to pick the players. And Jerry could claim it was him and blah, blah, blah.
Didn't have
but
a damn thing to do with Jerry.
I think history would suggest that Jimmy was a huge part of that.
Probably was the main part in that.
I know what the Cowboys' valuation is. I know how good Jerry Jones is at making money,
mm-hmm.
undoubtedly. I think, honestly, Jerry Jones is in the NFL Hall of Fame, and I think Hall of Fame voters need to be very, very careful with putting owners in, because I think owners will just kind of force their way in if you let them. I think we see Bob Kraft trying to do that right now. That's why he made his own.
Jerry lined the pockets of a lot of owners and the NFL. That's probably why he's in.
I think, I think Jerry Jones deserves to be in the Hall of Fame
mm-hmm.
because he changed football. He revolutionized football. You cannot tell the story of the NFL without Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could tell the story of these great Patriots teams, and it's incredibly complicated, but it's Brady and Belichick. I don't think it's, you know, Kraft. Somebody just sent this to me, and this might be a good comp. The Khalil Mack trade. If you remember, when Khalil Mack went from the Raiders to the Bears, it was for two first-round picks, but more.
How old was Khalil at the time?
I'm guessing he was roughly – White Brian, look that up for me. But it was 2018. Khalil Mack gets moved from the Raiders to the Bears for a first-rounder, for two first-rounders, a sixth and a third. But they did have to send back a second and a conditional fifth. That to me, the Raiders, the Bears rather paid a steeper price, but it's not that far off, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that's about the baseline, because the other part of this is now Green Bay had to pay Micah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Khalil Mack was 26 also, B, so that's a pretty good comp. And Khalil Mack was an absolute dog. Like, they're comparable players, too. I don't know, man. It's the Cowboys are a mess. Brian Schottenheimer, good luck. You just traded away Micah Parsons. You play the Eagles in a week, 6 days now.
Mm.
I mean, to me, above all, though, Brian.
I wonder how. I want to know how that locker room is panning out right now,
dude.
There's no way those dudes are all happy with that move.
Well, and B, going one step further, like, Jerry did this with Dak, right?
He did it with Michael.
You can go that far
back,
right?
Jerry don't give a damn.
It's going to be the Jerry show no matter what. Jerry going to Jerry. Mm-hmm. And I think he did it with Dak. He did it with CD. But they got to the finish line on those things. And I think the prevailing thought was, listen, man, this is going to be trouble and it's going to be ugly, but we'll get to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And so then to see this go the other way, to see this go fully, he's out of here, he's in Green Bay now, is just astounding.
And I think Nui even thought that the other day, that we both thought he was going to be back.
Right.
I would love to know what Nui is thinking right now. You need to text him, find out.
I'll text him, yeah. I'm trying to get – I don't want to bug Nui twice in a week. I'm trying to get Bobby Belt.
Text him and say, Nui, what the hell?
All right.
He'll send you back a text.
Dude, what the hell? That's my exact text. for the folks in the stream, you can see it. I texted Nui Scruggs, dude, what the hell?
Don't let the number pop up.
It didn't.
Okay.
You can also see the pictures of the short ribs Nui sent me earlier this week he was making. Jerry's going to Jerry, and this is really an astounding turn of events. I tell you what, B, and I'd like to get into this. The odds makers have already sent updated odds for the NFC, for the NFC North, and kind of how Micah going to the Packers changes things, because that Packers team, pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I also loved the audacity, and perhaps we should stop being even remotely surprised by Jerry Jones's audacity. But he talked about, we really like our depth on the edges, so this makes us better right away in the interior. You know, one of their
depth on the edges. When I heard him doing that, I almost threw something at my phone. I almost threw my phone, too.
Do you know one of their depth on the edges pieces, B?
Who?
Dante Fowler.
Well, we know one thing. Not stopping the run.
They drafted that kid Ezeraku. I believe he was Boston College. Mm-hmm. I think there is some excitement about him. But you had – you know how we always talk about the quarterback tiers and we expect Jaden to ascend into that top tier? The top tier of quarterbacks is Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Allen, period.
Yeah, totally.
I think Jaden's right below that and can get there, but you got to do it a couple years to be in that category.
Mm-hmm.
We could pick nits about the best pass rusher in the NFL. Certainly Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt can lay claim to that, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But those dudes are also significantly older. Micah Parsons is to me, would be in that tier.
Mike,
do you agree with that?
I think he stepped into the league and instantly was in it. This dude was being compared to Lawrence Taylor his first season.
Right.
Enough said. When you bring out that dude to make some comparisons about another guy, that's telling you how good you think this guy really is. And I understand Myles Garrett is bigger and T.J. Watt is bigger, and all they do is pass rush. This dude gets the same amount of sacks playing other positions. He plays middle linebacker, outside linebacker, pass rush. He covers people. They rush more than he does. He ends up getting damn near the same sack they got.
It's remarkable how this went down, and this was a remember where you were moment, I think. It was like a true kind of shockwave around the league. You did start to hear, I'd say, over the last 48 hours, like, hey, this thing might really go sideways. Like, this thing might really change. The tone from just people I follow on Twitter and stuff from Dallas were like, yeah, you know, this seems different. And then I think it was Jane Slater from NFL Network had the report of, like, just a picture of Micah at the airport. So at the very least, he was leaving town. Now, that doesn't mean people can leave town. You're allowed to leave town. This, you get a break. That's why I'm at the beach.
Didn't they show Washington Dulles Airport yesterday we looked at?
I have a feeling that was just...
I think that was a mess up. Somebody was trying to say stuff. But listen, man, this deal right here, it doesn't really make sense.
No. Let's do this. I got some odds. Some odds have really shifted with Micah Parsons going to the Packers. I want to run through the odds, but I want to open up the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. This is pretty simple, folks. Cowboys fans love to call into our show, and B. Mitch has a great Cowboy fan radar. He sniffs you out and calls you out. Where you at right now, Dallas fans? And my guess is, Brian, and I don't know if you agree, they're going to be cowards and not call in. So, Washington fans, are you fired up that Micah Parsons is out of the NFC East?
But don't listen to that. Just say football fans, because football fans probably going, what the hell were they thinking?
You know what?
Chicago fans,
whoever you are,
Chicago
phone lines are open.
Minnesota Vikings fans, they pissed off right now. Why are you sending them to us?
Yo, if you're a Bears fan and you got Caleb Williams and you're all excited and now Micah Parsons is going to be chasing him around when that dude can't stay on schedule and you want to tell me how great Ben Johnson is, good luck. Phone lines are open. It's B. Mitchell Finley.